Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Hello, hello, hello.
What up?
What up, E?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am making my way in the world today. It takes everything I've got.
I know. I feel like that should be the theme song for many people's lives still. What a great song. That's from Facts of Life from the 1980s, in case you Gen X, Gen Zs don't know it. But we are here. We are back for a bonus episode number 3.
Boom, 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 boom.
Woohoo! If you all haven't noticed, we have been releasing some fun bonus episodes lately because not only are we having a really great time with each other, but we are also working out all the kinks because we are in a transition and transitions take time, y'all. Mm-hmm. Am I right, E?
Hey, Shay. Yes.
Hey, Shay.
Yes, so we're working out some of the challenges, and it just takes a minute, you know. Yeah,
and truth be told, in true lesbian fashion, E and I basically U-hauled it into this.
We U-hauled it, straight up.
We straight up U-hauled it because it felt right, and it was just the right fit. And now, you know, now we're in the nitty-gritty of working out the workings and the mechanics, I guess, of the relationship.
Absolutely. And right? We both have experience with this because you basically U-hauled it and I basically U-hauled it. So
in our real relationship.
So of course it's going to, you know, spill over into the bitness of the podcasting.
Yeah. So we're taking this time to kind of work out kinks and do more recordings together and also make fun content for you all. So we just hope you just enjoy it. But before we get into the episode, we need to remind you to vote for our podcast.
Vote for our podcast.
Yes, because voting has officially opened for the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And if you've been a listener for a while, you know that If These Ovaries Could Talk, the Queer Families Podcast has won this award 2 times, y'all. And now that E is here, we really need to win.
We're going to totally win. So do it, y'all. What you need to do is go to www.podcastawards.com. Press the blue button that says, quote unquote, click here to vote, close quote. I don't know why I'm doing the quote. Then you're going to register.
And y'all, I just want to say, when you register, don't worry. They're not going to like send you a million emails. They need to make sure you're a real person. So don't think you're like signing up for some crazy thing.
Email blast. No way.
Yeah. No.
So you're going to press the blue button that says click here to vote. Then you're going to register. And then while registering, make sure you click the box that says please consider me as one of the listeners that will be randomly selected to vote on the final slate in August. That's really, really important, as 20% of the votes come from you.
Yes, and we want you all to be the voters.
Yes. Then you're going to fill in biggest podcast influencer with If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Obviously.
The next and almost last thing you're going to do is vote for us in the Adam Curry People's Choice and LGBT category. I'm going to say that again for the people out there in America who might have missed it. You're going to vote for us in the Adam Curry People's Choice and LGBTQ category.
And that's 2 categories, y'all. The Adam Curry is the first one, and the LGBTQ category is like way down on the list. So you got to do 2 categories.
2 things.
E, have you voted for us? E, have you voted for us yet?
Yes, several times. Yes, I did.
One time.
And I have several emails. I mean, y'all could do that too. I'm not suggesting.
I know, use all your emails. I'm not going to lie. I have taken every person's phone that I know that I've been in contact with that I'm standing next to and voted for the podcast.
That's genius. You're a genius.
Brilliant. I know. So do that. Listen, if you want to help us make this content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community and you can do just that. You're going to do a good thing and you're going to get bonus content. Boo, boo, boo. Look, you have me doing it now too. E. Boo, boo, boo. And at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most episodes dropped a day early. So get on that and you're going to see some video conversations, y'all. And you get to see our prayer hands in real time.
In real time. Thank you, Patreon folk.
Yes, thank you so much. And you're just going to want to head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join. And I just want to thank in person right now all of you Patreon members who are helping us make this content. It would be impossible without you, literally.
Muchas gracias.
Sí.
And there's merch. If These Ovaries Could Talk merch, because I mean, if you don't have the merch, what do you have?
I know.
Besides a great podcast. But
well, there's that.
Yeah, we have all kinds of merch. And, you know, although Pride is over, you can still go in and pick your designs. I think we'll even let you get a Pride design, even though also, it's July.
Because you know why? Pride is every day. Pride is every mother effing day, y'all. And the world needs to know it. So wear that merchandise. And we have cool new designs. We say trans. We say gay. Because the state of the world is in disarray for our people, y'all. Ooh, so get fire. That merchandise and represent. You can put these designs on t-shirts, mugs, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases, whatever you want. You're just going to go to the link in bio on our Instagram page to get to the store, and you'll see all the designs there. It's really beautiful. It's just gorgeous.
Buy lots of stuff for cancer season. And it's a full moon, too. I'm not going to talk any more about it, but the full moon is serious. And it brings me around to today's episode, today's bonus episode.
All day long, E. I just listen.
I can't, but it is a Capricorn full moon and it's cancer season. My wife is Capricorn and I'm a cancer, and it works out so beautifully because we're cardinal signs. Jamie is looking at me. She don't know what I'm talking about, but excuse me, universe, y'all know. So
I'm going to take a sip of my coffee.
Wish I had some more coffee. All right. But this is bringing me around to our bonus episode. Boom, 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 boom. Sorry. Bonus episode number 3. And your sound was a little meh, meh, meh. It was a little wonky.
Yeah, my son was a little wonky in this episode because we're technically on vacation here, but sometimes we're recording in different locations because we want to get these bonus episodes out. And something went wrong with my sound here. I don't even know what it is. Just thank you as you join us as we work out the kinks. We appreciate you and we hope it doesn't bug you too much.
You know what? I've been hyper aware of words. I wonder where work out the kinks came from and what kinks are we working out?
Somebody figure that out, especially because kinky is one of our words.
Kinks and kink in black hair, kinks in the kitchen. So I'm wondering, work out the kinks.
Maybe it started from black hair.
Maybe. Listeners, universe, can y'all look that up? Because we can't ask Google right now.
No.
We're busy. We're trying to do
a podcast. We are trying to get this intro recorded so our editor has time to add it to the episode.
Yes. But the very first episode, it was about how you and Anne did the thing and brought the babies into the world and that journey. So
yeah, we're revisiting our very first episode.
It was a good first episode, I gotta say.
Oh, thanks. Well, we'll get into that. But E, you've been going through our catalog of over 150 episodes.
Yes.
And it's been really fun to hear your take on some of these episodes. And so that's why we're doing this, because we want you guys to hear E's take too. So in this episode, we deal with a little bit of infertility, Jamie's infertility. I said my name in third person. Yes, I did. Yes. How awesome Jamie's wife is, Anne, because everybody loves Anne. And my breastfeeding fiascos and how we communicate or fight with our spouses. We cover a lot of ground in this little tiny episode. But without further ado, adieu.
Liquid you.
Let's roll this tape. Helen, she's on vacation too, and she's not happy about these bonus episodes. Mm-mm. I'll tell you that much.
She's smoking extra cigarettes.
So many cigarettes. Oh, Helen, darling. Helen, dear. Could you be a dear and roll that tape?
Thanks, Hells.
Roll that tape.
Hey.
Hi, E.
Hi, Jay.
We should talk about our elevator pitch for what we're doing here today.
Ooh. Yes. Ooh.
E, what is... Do you like how I'm putting it on you, E?
It's completely fine. I knew it was coming. I was like, but I did my homework, so I'm ready. Bring it.
What is our elevator pitch for why we are speaking in this episode today?
All right, you got the timer?
No, I don't have it. I don't have it. Give me a second.
The elevator pitch has to have a timer.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm ready. Stop. I'm preparing.
Reset. Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go.
Today's bonus episode is about Jamie and Anne and how they met. So I went back and I listened to the very first episode you and Robin did. And today we're going to talk all about you and Anne. So the first 30 seconds might be me, but the next 20 minutes is going to be all about you and Anne and the things I learned and heard about in the podcast. And I think that's about it. And I want to keep going, but I'm stopping.
26 seconds. Nicely done, E.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, we're not just going to talk about me. What we really want to do is hear your take on what you heard, because that was over 4 years ago when Robin and I recorded that very first episode. And so I think it's really fun that you just listened and you're going to tell us
what
you heard and what you thought. Because
I'm going to tell you what is what. So this is my biggest takeaway. You went through a whole lot to get your kids.
I did.
And Anne... it's so cool. That's my big takeaways. She just seems so chill.
You know, everybody loves Anne. I think Anne is definitely the one that everybody will take if we ever broke up. Aww. You know how your friends always take one?
Well, I'm taking you, and you're never going to break up, but I'm taking you.
No, we're not going to break up. But you know, there's always that one. And one person gets the friends, and I feel like Anne's taking all the friends.
Yeah, my ex-wife took all the friends, or we just stopped being friends.
Yeah.
But you went through a lot, and your instinct, this is another thing, because I said to you earlier, your instincts are fucking rock solid.
You're so kind.
I know, but I'm not trying to be. Like, I think that's one of the things that we humans need to accept about ourselves more is the good stuff, especially females or non-binary, everybody. Especially female and non-binary peoples. In my opinion, we really have to be in appreciation for ourselves, because living female and queer is, you know,
It's a whole thing, right?
It's a whole thing. You went through a lot to get your baby, especially baby two. I feel like Anne had this whole, like, surprisingly pretty simple. It sounded, I don't want to say simple, because it still worked.
But compared to mine, yes, it was just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Here's our daughter. Boom.
Right. And it took, like, it sounds like it took 3 to 4 years for you.
It took, well, it took almost 3 years. That's of trying, which is a long time. A lot of doctor's appointments and shots in the belly.
Yeah, and a lot of mental health, like making sure that you stay healthy and sane in the mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I have talked about this a lot, so I don't want to bore you all, but like when I was going through my infertility, I feel like I always have to say the H with my WH words now, E, because you say, this is one of my favorite things about when, where, why. And now every time I talk to you, if I don't put the H in there, I feel like I have to say the word again. Anyway, when I was going through my infertility, I kept pretty even keeled for the most part. Mm. I didn't get to a dark place until the very, very end. But for the first, I don't know, year and 8 months, I kept pretty even. And every time I would talk to, like, I would talk to my mom about it a lot. My mom, I'd be walking the dog, talking to my mom, and my mom would say, "What are you going to do if it doesn't work out?" And I'd say, "Mom, it's going to work. It's going to work. I'm not even worried. It's going to work. I know it's going to work." I remember having this conversation over and over and then getting annoyed at her that she was like, "What do you do if it doesn't?" Because it was never a doubt in my mind that it was going to work, which is weird because I doubt every single thing in my life so much that it's very strange that I had this conviction that this was 100% hands down going to work.
Wow.
I don't know what that is, but it took to the last, the third IVF transfer. When that one didn't work, I felt the low. I went to a very dark place and was ready to give up. And then, you know, changed things up, got a book, started taking more herbs, did the acupuncture, took a break, came back strong, hit the floor running, and got pregnant on the second try. So if that hadn't...
Don't IUI, by the way. Which is hard for us.
Right, right.
But you knew it.
I knew it.
What was the other side? Because people talk a lot about, and we tried and tried and tried, and it was, you know, a little tense in the relationship, or it was fine. And we skip over the big piece of what the trying can do to a relationship, even the best of relationships. So that was what I was wondering. Like, did you guys have... Was it tense? How did the relationship shift to catch? You know what I'm trying to ask. Like, did you guys have a rough time with the, you know what I mean? Or did was it?
I think that, and this is another reason why I say I didn't really experience a lot of the lows that a lot of folks do. This is another thing about this. Like, I think that Anne was actually really supportive through it. And it was never like a big thing. We never made a big deal out of the failed result. I didn't. I'd come home as a negative, whatever, let's go, let's move on. Like, I don't know, I didn't dwell. And she didn't dwell either. I'll be honest, my breastfeeding situation was harder on us than the infertility was.
Oh, wow, how so?
Well, because the baby wouldn't latch and I was hell-bent on breastfeeding and I tried for 4 months and it was hell and it was... I was constantly pumping. I was constantly crying. It was that put some real bad pressure on our relationship. And she wanted me to stop, but she couldn't tell me to stop. And if she told me to stop, I was going to bite her head off. And that was worse than the infertility for some. And it might've been because we already had a daughter. She was 3 years old and a handful. So we didn't have time to dwell at that time. It was just constant move. No, we move forward. We keep going forward. Keep moving forward. I don't know if that's healthy or not, but that's how we got through it. And Anne and I, surprisingly, didn't really face too many tense moments. I mean, we face tense moments all the time.
You guys don't seem to have any kind of tense moments. Y'all both look so chill. Oh. Your kids are so beautiful.
You're hilarious.
Like, yeah, we're like metropolitan lesbians.
Talk to our best friends, Karen and Toby, and ask them if they've seen us bicker. And they'll tell you a whole different story. Everybody bickers.
Erin will not argue. That's very different than my first wife's situation. But she's a Buddhist, too. And she's been a practicing Buddhist for 20 years. So her zen, like, I'm the one who comes like, look, Erin, this is what's going on. And she's like, I can tell you're very upset by this. Okay. So once someone says, okay, you're right, or okay, I agree, there's no more fight.
Oh, I'm one of those. I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. I will do that. Apologies go so far, but Anne is on to my shit now. Like, it really is kind of a tactic I use at this point. Don't tell Anne I just said that.
I will not tell. Shh. All y'all out there, America, don't tell Anne.
No, we try to communicate, right? We all are trying our best to communicate with our spouses and our friends and our partners. And sometimes we're good at it and sometimes we fail miserably. And we just have to clean it up. As long as you clean it up. And if you fight in front of your kids, which sometimes happens, you got to clean it up in front of your kids. That's something that I try to make sure happens, which we don't always do the best at that.
Right.
How about you, E?
I mean, we're still in the honeymoon phase, I guess, because it's only 2.5 years that we've been married. So I understand that. But what's the foundation that we've laid is so respectful. Because we also, by the time we got together, we've been through so many relationships and women. Yeah. And so we're really clear about what we want. Yes.
E, you've been through so many women. It's every time you say another thing about past. Your past, I'm like, oh.
Because okay. I was happily gay. I was so excited about.
You lived. You sowed your oats. I lived hell.
Yes. And so when it came time to have a baby, I never felt like I'm missing something. Like, I didn't miss dating. I didn't miss traveling. I didn't miss taking all the acting jobs and going all over the place. So this part of life and being able to stay home and focus and be with my kid and possibly have another one. Is did I just roll my eyes?
Sure
I did. But I'm rolling my eyes at the idea of diapers.
I'm this ready is for the this. Thing. I am ready then for you to
you
make
could change
baby.
The diapers.
I just got out of diapers, E. I'm not going back. And my son likes to poop his pants like regularly. So I am not changing any other poopy diapers. I'm done.
Yeah. The diaper thing was not fun, but I've never had a full-time kid except for the first 18 months of his life. Oof. Because we were divorced after that. And then it went to part timing for both of us. Mm-hmm. So it has never been that. Like, I see full time parents and I'm like, wow, every day, all day, like all the time.
It's a thing.
How do y'all do it?
It's a thing.
So this baby would be an all the time baby. Because I told Erin, I said, we staying together this time. I'm not doing another co-parenting situation outside the house.
I'm excited.
So you can hate me and get two beds or whatever, two rooms, whatever. But we staying together. This is it.
Okay, so last thing I want to ask you regarding that very first episode.
Yes.
How awkward was it? Because I didn't go back and listen. I don't even want to go back and listen because I'm afraid I'm going to cringe. Because we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
It wasn't that awkward at all.
Oh, my God.
So like, awkward. Robin really led you guys in that first interview.
She did a good
and
job.
She made space. She did a really good job. Mm-hmm. You guys gave a lot of information. You were really clear. It was good. Mm. I laughed out loud at one point.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed listening to you.
It was probably Anne. Anne makes people laugh out loud a lot.
But I love the part where you were like, I think you're sexy. I was like, okay.
I said that about Anne?
Yeah, no, about Robin. Yeah, about Anne.
Really? I said that in the episode? Oh my God. Yes. She probably wanted to kill me when I said that.
Why?
She's very private. She is a very private person. This poor woman has been dragged to do so many things that are out of her comfort zone because of me. She's done podcast episodes. She had to do Good Morning America and be like out and proud and gay with me. Like, poor Anne. Anne really takes him for the team so many times.
She loves it, though, because it's the yin and yang. Mm-hmm. It's the, you keep talking that she's stable, she's stable,
yes.
She's stable.
Yes.
When she, and I, oh my God, that was one of the cutest moments. She's like, when I went to ask Jamie's dad for her hand, he said, well, you are really stable. And I was like, oh, you're so cute that you went and asked her dad. I'm like, maybe I should have done that.
I made her.
I didn't ask Aaron's dad.
You should have. I'm just saying.
Shit.
Just
shit.
To each their own. To each their own. I don't know why I cared so much, even honestly, about that.
Like, what am I going to call up and say? I know that Erin has lived in New York for 20 years, sir, and I haven't met you, but can I marry your daughter?
Oh, you haven't even met him?
No, we still haven't met because the COVIDs.
Oh my God.
And then we planned a trip. And of course, what happens when you plan a trip? You book a job. So I booked an episode on a show and they had me on hold and then they didn't even use me that day. Uh-oh. I was so mad.
That's so
But you
annoying.
Know, you can't leave.
Right. Right.
So we're trying to do it in the fall.
Okay.
We've met on the phone, of course. We've done FaceTime and he's an amazing, sweet guy. He's like a former pastor and he's a musician and all this other stuff. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention from the episode. See, I talked myself back into it. I realized at that time, your dad was still around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. wasn't long ago at all.
No. I was like 8 months pregnant, 7 months pregnant. My dad was still alive. A lot has happened. A lot has changed.
Yeah, and he's met his grandchildren. He met his grandchildren before?
He knew Rose because she was already three.
Right.
And he met Orion. Orion was born in November, and my dad died in April of the next year.
Wow.
He met him when Orion was 3 months old. I brought him to meet him. And then he died like a month later. I'm going to cry. I don't know why I'm going to cry.
Well,
I mean, I do know why I'm going to cry. But
of course.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad. Mm-hmm. And it was the way you were saying your parents. And it was just, I'm sorry. Like, that's hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. And mm-hmm. you have this brand new baby. You mm-hmm. lose your dad.
Yeah.
Your family's on the other side of the country.
Yes. Wow, you brought me to a place. Thanks, E.
Feel your feelings. It's safe. It's fine. We both have that in common, though. We lost our yours much more recently. Mine was 2006.
Oh.
And it didn't even hit me because we hadn't seen each other. I was living in Kentucky, but we used to write letters.
Oh, wow.
So a year after and I was mad at my sister for some bullshit that, you know, she was the daughter who got to make decisions mm-hmm. because she's the oldest. And in Jersey, that's how it works. He was on life support. We had decided to take him off. Mm. And then my grandmother, who was 93 at the time, was called up and said, "Don't kill my baby boy." And I'm not killing him, but I know my dad. Like, he didn't want to live, like, as a vegetable. Like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
But anyway, so then we didn't. And I was mad at my sister. And he passed, like, a week later anyway.
Yeah.
But I didn't go to the funeral. And I didn't register. I didn't allow it in.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a year later, I'm sitting down. I'm writing, like, "Hey, Lloyd," because I called him Lloyd. "How you doing? I need a new poem for..." And I'm like, it hits me like a fucking truck.
Mm.
I'm like, he's dead?
Yeah.
And I just, it took a whole year for it to hit
grief
me.
Grief is deep. A crazy beast.
Yeah.
Any of you who are grieving right now, we love you.
We do love you.
And we're sending our love to you.
I'm so happy we're talking about this, though, because this is part of a queer family experience as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
part of all family experience.
It's all family experience. And I think that one of the points of this podcast, when I listen to former episodes, is that you guys were on brand and you stay on brand about presenting queer families. And the more that we're presented, the more I realize we're just like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's body parts. But how often in a day do you deal with it?
Right, exactly. And let's be real. How often do lesbians who've been married 14 years actually handle that stuff?
And that sounds like a whole episode because we've all heard the word lesbian bed death, right?
Yes.
Like I said, I'm still newlywed, but I know what's possible. But we also don't have our kid every other week.
Right. So you have space and you're bored at home.
Right.
You're bored in the house,
but like this weekend, he is with his other household. So we have a whole week where we get to run around and act like silly geese and drink and not have to worry about it. I get to smoke my cannabis in the house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't even with your life eat you. I can't wait for you to have those triplets and then come.
America, can you all do something about your girl? Because I can't. Do you understand what would happen to me? First of all, I would try to get all the assistants, right? Like, is there a website, people who got too many kids, you can go to?
I believe that, E, because you're already trying to get this podcast all the assistants, too.
It's going
to
get all the assistants. This podcast is great.
We need like another Helen times 10 who's real.
And that was funny too. Robin was the voice of Helen and I was cracking up.
Oh yeah. Robin did a good Helen. We need a new fake Helen.
And you keep doing it. You keep, you kept telling everybody, America, Helen's not real.
Oh, this bonus episode went long, but doesn't it always? Well, tune in next week. We're going to talk some more. We're going to dissect another episode. And we're so happy to be with y'all. So
we are. This is great, Jay.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Okay.
All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.